Well, hello, friends, and welcome back to Bible Sunshine. It's a delight to be back with you. We've had a few days away celebrating our 40th anniversary, but we're delighted to be back today. So I hope you remembered and you can tune in and watch. And then if you miss it now, hopefully you'll be able to get the podcast later. Thank you so much for your faithfulness, and we praise God for the blessing to be able to study the Word of God together. Well, open your Bibles again to Philippians chapter 4, and I want to read starting with verse 13 and following. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity to open the Word of God and to receive spiritual nourishment. And Lord, while maybe some are eating their lunch, I pray that you will nourish their bodies. But I pray, Lord, that you will nourish our souls as we study your Word. We understand from Jesus that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Thank you for these words from your mouth. Bless them to our ears and to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're continuing our study here in Philippians chapter 4 on God's financial plan and how to trust God through financial ups and downs, how to live within the means provided by God. By way of review, if we go back to verses 11 and 12, we need to learn the secret of contentment. In verse 13, we depend on the power and strength of Christ. And then in verse 14, 15, and verse 16, we learn the joys of giving and receiving. A giver may become a recipient, and a recipient may become a giver, but no one outgives God. Paul gave to the Philippians spiritually, and they gave to him then materially. They helped to meet his needs. Well, now I want to come to the fourth principle, not only learning the joys of giving and receiving, but the fourth principle, understanding God's financial plan. We need to understand God's financial plan. Verses 17 and 18. And this is really a neat concept. Look at what Paul says here. Not that I seek the gift. The Philippians had sent to him a gift to supply his physical needs. He said, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Now just imagine for a moment our omniscient God. He knows everything. Imagine his vast ledger book in heaven. Does he keep account of everything? Of course, God is spirit. He doesn't need a book. He doesn't need a computer. But just for the sake of our understanding, imagine God having a great ledger in heaven. And on it is your name. On it is my name. And he keeps track. He keeps an account of our giving. Isn't that an interesting thought? And Paul says, it's not that I so much want the gift from you Philippians. I want the fruit. I want the result of what happens when something is entered on your ledger line, on your account. There is spiritual fruit that comes from that. There is spiritual blessing to you, Philippians, because that entry was made on that great account. That's a wonderful thought, isn't it? We need to understand God's financial plan. Let me ask you a question. Do you have anything? I ask myself the question, do I have anything that God did not give me? It was not given to me by God. Do you have anything that was not given to you by God? You said, oh yes, I have this or that that my mother, my grandmother gave me, or my grandfather left to me. No, but where ultimately did it come from? It came from God. All that we have comes from Him. So let me ask another question. Does God want us to be givers? Does He want us to be generous with what we have? Yes, He does. He wants us to give. He wants us to give back to Him. Does God reward giving? Yes, He does. Okay, last question. Can you, can I outgive God? Can we? He's given us so much. Can we outgive God? Can we say, oh, this is my private collection, not for anyone, not even God? Can we outgive God? No, we can't. Earthly possessions can bring eternal dividends. Think about that. Earthly possessions. I don't seek the gift, Paul says. The Philippians gave from their resources, their possessions. I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Earthly possessions can bring eternal dividends. The fruit, the dividends that come to your account, that abounds to your account. God keeps track of it, and He keeps a record of our giving. So the things that we have been given by God can be used for eternal purposes, can bring eternal fruit, eternal dividends, if they are surrendered to Christ and used for His glory. God takes notice of what I give to Him. Now, I think some people, some believers, sometimes even non-believers think this, that we can sort of give God a tip. That, I've done my duty. I gave 10% to God. Or maybe some people don't even think in terms of percentage. They just think, I'm going to give God a few dollars. I'm going to give Him this or that. And they think they've done God a favor. Sometimes even Christians may think, I gave my 10%. I'm done. I'm done with that. I fulfilled my obligation. I kept the law. And they're thinking in terms of the law, in terms of legal binding rules from the Old Testament. I fulfilled the law, and so God shouldn't expect anything else from me. But I want to say, He does. You know what He expects? My heart, your heart. He doesn't just want a tip from us. He wants our heart. He doesn't even just want a tithe from us. He wants our hearts. He wants me to give Him my heart, my life, my all. He wants me to give Him all of my possessions, my aspirations. He wants to give Him my time. And yes, my talents to be used for God. And He wants us indeed to give Him our treasures. So let's not think that, well, we have done our legal duty, therefore God should not want anything more from us. No, He wants us to give Him our very heart, our all. And if we understand this wonderful truth about this investment for eternity, it is just vivifying. It gives us joy to give. Let me share sort of a paraphrastic translation from Moffat. He says, it is not the money I am anxious for. This is a paraphrase of Philippians 4:17. It's not the money I'm anxious for. What I am anxious for is the interest that accumulates in this way to your divine credit. Your debt to me is fully paid and more than paid. I like that. This interest that accumulates in this way to your divine credit. Think of that. We give of what God has given to us, and interest is paid to our account from what those possessions given, from that money given, laid up in heaven. What a blessed thought. These things are there to your account. So I need to understand God's financial plan. Earthly possessions can bring eternal dividends. God keeps account of what we give to him. It is a wise thing to invest for Christ. Investing time in some new believer, some older believer who needs encouragement. Investing time in sharing the gospel. Investing time in witnessing to others. God can use us in many ways if we just open up our hearts to him. There was a dear lady who had never been married, who loved God, was a prayer warrior, and was such a blessing to my wife and me. And she found a unique ministry. She would look in the newspaper to the obituary and find addresses of people who had lost loved ones. And she would send them a card, strangers she didn't even know, and she would send them a gospel message with it. This lady was injured in a surgical accident, and she went through trauma and pain, but she found wonderful ways to serve God. You see, she was investing of her time, even in her affliction. So let's think about giving in terms much broader than just, I'm going to give my 10% and then I'm done. I hope God will not ask me for more. No, he wants all of us and everything that we have. And he wants us to see how these treasures can be invested for eternity. It is wise to invest for Christ. God can see the whole and long-term picture. And we can't afford to be short-sighted and stingy. Well, may God help us to be his people who have this picture. And may we have fruit, interest, abounding to our account in heaven because we give and we see that all that we have comes from God and he wants to bless us. Now, thank you. Think of this amazing picture. Everything we have is from God. God wants us to give to him. He says in various ways, Romans 12, 1 and 2, present your bodies a living sacrifice. And then when we give to him willingly and from our hearts, there's treasure laid up in heaven on our account. There's an entry on the ledger line in God's divine accounting. Praise the Lord for that wonderful truth. I think there'll be great rewards in heaven for those who have invested for eternity. Well, it's been our blessing to be able to pray for believers in other countries that face persecution. And so today we come to number 35 on the persecution index, Kazakhstan. Kazakhstan is, I understand, the ninth largest country in the world. It's not all that well known. It's between Russia and China. And let me read just one line here from the World Watch List, a prayer guide. It says, any religious literature must be approved by the government. Think of that in Kazakhstan. So there is oppression of believers there. Let's pray for them. And the other country, number 36 on the list, is Turkey. We hear much about the land of Turkey. Well, there's pressure there against Christians. Remember, it wasn't too long ago that an American missionary was imprisoned there, and praise God, he was finally released. Let's pray for Christians in these countries. Our Father, we pray for the power of literature, Christian literature, the Gospel of John, New Testaments, complete Bibles in Kazakhstan. We pray for gospel pamphlets, gospel booklets to be disseminated. Lord, whether the government or not approves of it, I pray that you will bless your word, that it will expand, that many will hear the gospel. Many will be exposed to the word of God in Kazakhstan. And Lord, encourage your saints there. Give them spiritual strength in their inner being to be able to serve you, witness for you, stand for you. And dear Father, we pray for Christians in Turkey. We pray that you will strengthen churches. Give great wisdom to missionaries who are there. Give great strength day by day to national believers, that they would be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Help them, Lord, to be bold in their witness, to not renounce Christ when pressure is put on them by family and friends and the government. We pray for Christians in these two countries today that you will give them unusual supernatural power to carry out and fulfill all the will of God. And our Father, throughout the United States of America, we pray, have mercy on this land. May we turn to you with all our hearts. We pray, Lord, for a revival by your Spirit, that hearts will repent of sin and turn to Christ. Thank you for your goodness. Teach us, Lord, to give of our time, our talents, and our treasures. In Jesus' wonderful, loving name we pray. Amen. Well, God bless you, dear friend. It's great to be with you today. We had such a wonderful time celebrating our anniversary, and we are glad that we can be back together today. May God's light shine upon you.